Good morning. So, happy birthday, James. So, that's why I'm up here today, so James can have his birthday, kind of honor him. But also because we as elders like to once in a while get up here and just share a little bit about what the Spirit and God is leading us into. Today I chose the topic of the Holy Spirit. My title, as you see here, is Embracing the Spirit. One of the reasons I chose this topic is because as a Bible teacher at Cookson Hills, I teach a senior Bible. And I find that many times my students really don't even understand the Holy Spirit at all. So I thought today that'd be a good subject for us as well, just to remind us who or what is the Holy Spirit. I guess I need to pull out the clicker here, if I find the right pocket. So as you see here in my picture that I chose, one of the places we see the Spirit is in where after Jesus' baptism, where the dove, the Spirit came down and said, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." So, as this reads here, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. In that moment, the heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. But so, what I'd like to talk about today is who or what is the Holy Spirit? Is he a person? Which I find many people say, no, he's not a person. But is he some spiritual feeling or whatever? And again, I have people say, no. But so who or what is the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit important to our faith? We would, according to the Bible, yes, but I find that there are others who say, well, no, not really, at least not today. He was important in the apostles' time, but today it's more of the Father and the Son. That's who we kind of focus on, isn't it? I mean, we have a time of remembrance for Jesus. And we see in the Scripture that we're supposed to draw close to the Father like children. But what's the Scripture say about the Holy Spirit? Is there anything really that we're supposed to do for the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit? Well, that's kind of some of the things I want to talk about. What role does this Holy Spirit play in our lives? So let's look at this. First off, the idea that the Spirit or the Holy Spirit is something that is kind of old-fashioned or not necessarily valid to us today. Like I said, there are those out there who believe that we no longer need the Spirit or the Spirit isn't active today. Maybe it's not that we don't need Him, but He just isn't there. We see Him definitely, we're in the Scriptures where He came down as a dove and alighted on Jesus. We see Him also as tongues of flame with the apostles during Pentecost. But do we see Him in our lives? So there's a lot of misconceptions about the Spirit. Well, maybe we do see Him in our lives. We see Him when He's a kind of a gift to us, as Jesus said He was going to be. But is that all He is? Or is He just a temporary feeling that feeling of euphoria when something is happening in our lives and we know He's present? And is it just a feeling? In John 14, 23 through 27, this is what Jesus says. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make their home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So yes, the Spirit is a gift promised to us by Jesus. And what do we see that he does here? Well, he teaches us and reminds us, right? So in another scripture in Matthew 28:19-20, therefore, Jesus says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Part of the problem with memorizing scriptures, especially in King James, is you keep wanting to re-say it in the language. But I try to keep... So this is all coming from the NIV, by the way, these scriptures. But what does this show us? Well, it shows that there's three parts to this being or this God that we have. Right? Specifically in this scripture, it names those three parts. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, Holy Spirit. So the truth of the factor is he's more than a gift. He is an actual persona or part of God. No, he's not a human being. No, he's not an angel. But he is in fact part of the Trinity, what we call the Trinity, or one of three persons of God. And I know that's kind of hard to see here, all of that, but this is a diagram showing the fact that the Son glorifies the Father glorifies the Spirit, and the Spirit glorifies the Son. They are not individuals, but they are God. So, as far as when we talk about individuals as people, you know, when I bring this to my students, I go, is he a person? And they go, no, 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 because he's not human. He is not broken. This is God we speak of, but it's kind of hard to, well, what do we say then? Do we use the pronoun he, or do we use the pronoun it? Well, it's definitely not the right word, so we tend to use the word he, don't we? Because he is a persona of God, our God. So another misconception, he's not Santa Claus. He doesn't come down into our lives just to secretly give us a gift. And then off he goes. As it says in Acts 1-7:8, and Jesus again, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates of the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the Spirit comes upon us, giving us power. Is this something, is this strength, or is this some spiritual power that we are given, that we keep, or is this the Spirit residing in us that is the power of God that works through us to accomplish his purpose in our lives? Well, it's the latter, isn't it? So the truth, this Holy Spirit is the power in our lives that works through us to accomplish God's purpose. So it's not Santa Claus, because it's there all the time. Another misconception, it's not drops of water in a bucket. It's just not a little bit here and a little bit there, but the Spirit works in our lives continuously. Does he ever leave us? No. So he's always there. Nor is it optional. If we believe in Jesus and accept him as our Savior and Lord, the Spirit comes upon us. And we have this power always. Do we always let it manifest us through us? Well, our broken nature prevents that from happening, unfortunately. But He's always there and always with us. He's God in us, the part of God in us. So in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, it reads, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." So He is part of God in us that guides us and leads us, right? The truth, the Holy Spirit is the seal of our belief. Jesus is our Savior, but the Spirit is the proof to us each and every day that we are indeed Christ's. Is a part of God that works in us if we allow Him. And He works in us whether we want to or not, as we're going to see as we proceed here. Which is a good thing, right? Another misconception. He's not our company logo, nor some external proof of having been saved. As the scripture reads here in Luke 11:13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" So the Spirit is so much more than just a letterhead for us. Or, you know, some proof that we are actually indeed Christians. He's there in us, working with us and through us to draw us closer to God the Father and God the Son. The truth, the Holy Spirit is the person of God in all who believe, not just some, but all. Now you say, okay, like my students have said, how do I know this? I've never felt the Spirit work through me. I've never felt the Spirit in me. So how can the Spirit be in all of us? Well, maybe we're not just embracing the Spirit correctly, or we're not recognizing what the Spirit actually does in our lives. I think the Spirit oftentimes, because there's no specific scripture that says to remember Him, He sometimes gets forgotten. And at times in our lives, I think He gets ignored. Because we're not really focused where our focus isn't where it needs to be. Does this make sense? Another misconception is it's that the Holy Spirit is our diploma. But He's not. He's not what we get when we accept Jesus or because of what we do. He doesn't come to us when we're doing all the right things and we have enough faith to actually believe in God. He's not a reward for having enough faith. He's not a reward for properly seeking Him. He's not a sign of adequate repentance. So we don't find the Spirit because, you know, these are some misconceptions that if I'm not repentant enough, the Spirit won't come on. That's why He's not coming on me and I'm not feeling Him and so forth. He's not a sign of pure heart. My heart's just not pure enough, so I don't feel the Spirit. He's there, people. And we need to recognize that. And we're going to talk now. So let's look at this a little deeper. In 1 John 4:13, it says, "By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us the Spirit." So we abide in Him. We know this because the Spirit is in us. the truth, the Spirit works in us and through us according to what we allow. There is a faith aspect here. But it's not that the Spirit isn't in us, but that we're just not letting the Spirit work in our actions and words at times. In 1 John 4:13, it says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So that's what it takes, is our faith to allow the power of the Spirit to work through us. If we just have the faith of a mustard seed, which is about that big in diameter, it's a small little brown ball, that's all we need. We can. It's not us doing it, but it's us allowing the Spirit to do what this God has called us to do. He's our power, the power of God in us. So, we need to embrace the Spirit so that He can work through us. We are God's temple because He resides in us. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with our bodies." So the Spirit is always there in us and with us, a lot guiding us if we let Him, drawing us closer to God and Jesus. So what is the role of the Spirit in our lives? How do we know He's there? Is it by speaking in tongues, like some believe? Or being able, you know, like we see in the Pentecost. Is that what it takes to know the Spirit is in us? Or is it like Paul, who got bit by a viper and was fine? Is it the ability to resist the poisons of this world? Is that what the Spirit does to prove that He's in us? Well, no. It's not quite so dramatic. The Spirit did work there, but the Spirit works in us in more subtle ways as well. Now, maybe for some of you, you've had something that maybe is more in that miraculous realm, but for most of us, it's not going to be that way. To start off with, the Spirit is our advocate. In John 14:26, it tells us that He is our comforter, helper, and He empowers us. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This is what Jesus said to His disciples that became His apostles. So if you read through the Scriptures, the disciples had no clue what Jesus was saying here. They had no clue what miracles meant, no clue what most of His parables meant. I mean, what they kind of comprehended them based on Jesus' explanations, but they really didn't understand it. But then at Pentecost, when the Spirit came upon them, not only did they speak in tongues, but they spoke in tongues of truth of Jesus' miracles and parables. As we see in Peter's sermon, proclaiming Jesus as Lord and the Savior for all of us. The Spirit is also our intercessor in prayer. It may not be this feeling of euphoria. That's not what the Spirit's about. The Spirit is there to help us and guide us. So He's our intercessor in prayer. By having the Spirit in us, we know that our prayers reach God, not with our clumsy words, but with our, it talks about the Spirit actually speaking in guttural, some sounds that express our heart to God. So the Spirit intercedes for us. In Romans 8:26, it reads, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans," like I just said. So can you imagine in times of pain praying to God with a "Ugh!" or in joy with a "Yee-hee!" That may seem like a little bit of craziness or whatever, but on the other hand, this is kind of what the Spirit's doing for us. That's where our heart is, and He then communicates that with God the Father, and probably God the Son as well, so that God Himself knows what we mean. So we don't have to worry about how we pray. Good grief. We just pray, and the Spirit takes our heart and gives it to God. If we're praying, trying to worry about our words, are we really letting our heart speak? So as I tell kids of all ages, and I guess all of us are a little kid at heart, we pray with our own words. They don't have to be any format or any specific, I guess format's probably the best word, but, it doesn't have to be. It can be just a simple child's prayer from the heart is enough. So a simple prayer from us, from our hearts, is enough. However we want to say it. Third, the Spirit cultivates the fruits of God's character. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, as I in another version, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So here we see it where we get these gifts. And by this is where we see the Spirit interceding in our lives or working in our lives, giving us love for someone who's unlovable. Giving us peace in times of conflict and struggle and pain. Giving us comfort in times of loss. Giving us healing. Now that's kind of all it says itself right there, right? Because God, He gives us the love we need, the joy we need, the peace we need, the patience with that student that just drives you nuts, the kindness to look beyond what someone's doing and to us or to someone else, and showing them that touch of kindness that could change a life. The gentleness and the self-control that we need to reach those who are lost. You know, I am amazed at some of the stories I hear. There was a story of Chris Yon, who was a homosexual drug dealer in his youth. And he's Asian of race. And his mother and father didn't know Jesus or God. And they didn't know what to do. And eventually he got himself thrown in jail. And this is a true story. But his mother and father found Jesus. And his mother, and actually this is, if you've watched The War Room, this story is based on this lady. And so Christopher Yon, his mother, was the one that prayed for him that prayer of "Anything, Lord, draw my son to you." And he had been in prison several years, serving his sentence for drug dealing and so forth. And there was, of course, a Gideon Bible on the stand. And he picked up that Bible and started reading it because he didn't have anything else to do. And he found Jesus. And he's today married. Took a lot of years for the homosexual tendencies, feelings to go away. But he's now married to a beautiful woman. And he's a professor at what was the Cincinnati Bible College. I'm not sure what they call themselves today. I know they're now part of Ozark. So he's found Jesus. So, you know, what joy, what power has the Spirit shown in that mother's life? What joy, what power would we like to feel? You know, my father, throughout my growing, my youth, didn't know Jesus. And I remember when I was young, I told my mom, I'm done praying because God's not answering my prayers. And I think I was like 14 or something like this. And my mother says, never give up. Keep praying. And when I was 38, my father finally came to Jesus. Praise God, right? So don't give up. The Spirit is, you know, and God can do miracles. So don't give up. So the Spirit is a cultivator of fruits of God's character. He's also our guide. At that time, Matthew 10, 19 through 20, it reads, at that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And this is exactly what I'm praying today, that God's Word is coming and you understanding what the Spirit, who the Spirit is and what He means to us. But so he's our guide, but not just in speaking roles, but also in our actions. I firmly believe that the Spirit is that small voice in us, sometimes giving us elation because we're doing what's right, that feeling of euphoria. Yes, the Spirit oftentimes does provide that feeling of euphoria in my life when I know He's working through me. And I praise God for that, and I'm feeling a little bit of that right now, so praise Him. But He's also that voice of guilt when we know we're doing something that's not right, when we're disobeying and not loving Jesus like we should, right? So He's our guide. He also helps us to stand firm. In Ephesians 6:13 through 18, it talks about the war for our souls. Oftentimes we forget that on this earth, there are two sides fighting for our souls. The enemy, Satan, and his minions, and God and his minions. And the Spirit is the one that helps us stand firm. Is it in this scripture? I didn't get to put the whole thing on here, but it talks about putting on the full armor of God. So I'll just, but the part that talks about the Spirit is here. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, and goes through the belt of righteousness, truth, and the Spirit, and so on. Anyway, and then it reads at the towards the end, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So here's where the Spirit helps us stand firm. He is our power to resist, as we've said already. Can we do it on our own without God's help? I don't know about you, but I sure can't. We need the Spirit. And this is where the Spirit helps us stand firm against all oppression. I'm sure when Mrs. Kirk stood up there after Charlie Kirk's death and forgave the man that did it, don't you think the Spirit was with her? I mean, how in the world could you forgive someone who killed your mate without God's help? So anyway, so he helps us stand firm. Other roles that are attributed to this Holy Spirit is our encourager, a bringer of peace, which is a gift of the Spirit, as already talked about, a provider of joy, again, a gift of the Spirit. As I said already, provider of direction, of sense of guilt and virtue, and a comforter during grief and tribulation. So these are the roles of the Spirit in your life. Do you feel the Spirit? Do you know the Spirit? Does he need to do dramatic things like flung tongues of flame or speaking in tongues or helping us resist the poison of asps and snakes? No. He's in us all the time, and he's what the good that God bestows. He's the power, let me say this correctly, he's the power of God working in our lives that provides the good that we have. Does that make sense? He's the provider of that good, or the part of God that does it. We can never forget that the Spirit is one with the Father and the Son. So how do we embrace the Spirit? Should we embrace the Spirit? Well, if we're going to embrace God, of course. But do we need to think of him as a separate entity that needs to be praised individually? I know people who actually will pray to the Father first, to the Son second, and to the Spirit third. Do we need that? I don't think so. I see in the Scripture that it talks about this oneness. And as we pray to our God, we are praying to all three. And maybe I'm wrong, but in some ways, nowhere in the Scripture do we see God writing that he wants us to give extra prayer to the Spirit. Does he want us to stop and pause and remember the Spirit like we do the Son? There's purpose in that remembrance. So we remember God's greatest gift to us, right? And I think that's why God has us remember the Son. Because he's the one that paid the price, right? He's the one that saves us through his blood. But the Spirit is still part of that, of God, the one God. And he's the one that works in our lives because he's the one that lives in us. Praise for that. That we do have a peace or a person or persona, if you prefer, of God in us that resides there and works in us and helps us through the times that we need the help. That lifts us up and allows us to take joy and feel that feeling of euphoria because God's working through us. So, in closing today, I found this on the internet. I don't know who the last name of Pastor David here is, but this is how he signed it. But I found this to be very apt to this sermon. He reads, embracing the Holy Spirit means inviting the power of God into every aspect of our lives, changing us for the better, and helping us grow in our faith. So should we embrace the Spirit? Yes. We need more of the Spirit in our lives to grow our faith, but giving praise always to the one God, and to the Son and the Father as well. So at this time, we're going to offer an invitation. An invitation to accept Jesus as your Savior and become and to embrace not just the Spirit, but God as one. It is through Jesus, Scripture tells us, that we accept this whole, the Godhood. It is in faith in him because he was the God the man sent to earth to suffer and die for us and pay the price for our sin. So if you have not yet accepted Jesus as Lord, this is a time for you to come forward and to embrace Jesus and embrace his gift to you in his blood that cleanses you of all your sins from now and through eternity, so we may walk with God in the heavens and the new earth and new heavens. Right? So let us sing.
This concludes today's worship service. Thank you for listening. We hope you were encouraged by joining us on Facebook Live. Please message us if you have questions or would like more information. May God bless you and give you His peace.